Hello and welcome to Quick Link Podcast on Friday, the 7th of May, the eve of Il Giro. Inigo and Nathan are coming up with their preview of the race, so let's rattle through the day's racing and away we go. One piece of news today though, and that's De Koninck Quickstep won't be renewing the contract of João Almeida for 2022, meaning he'll be off somewhere else after just 2 years with the team since signing for Hagen's Berman Axion. To the racing, and we'll rattle through these quite quickly. We'll start in Portugal. Stage 3 of Volta Algarve went to a bunch sprint with Sam Bennett taking his second win of the race for De Koninck Quickstep, holding off Danny Van Poppel of Intermarché and his teammate and lead-up man Michael Morkou. Ethan Hayter stays in yellow, level on time with João Rodrigues and Jonathan Lastra. Elie Jesbert is 4 seconds back in 4th. Ivan Sosa is 5th at 9 seconds. Sebastian Henao, the 3rd Ineos rider in the top 6, he's at 20. Bennett's in the sprints jersey, João Rodrigues the mountains, and Sean Quinn is best young rider. TT day tomorrow, 20.3 kilometres around Lagoya and back to the coast. Looks quite lumpy, stick a Euro on Ben Thomas. Over the board into Spain and another bunch sprint, this time on stage 2 at Setmana Valenciana. Sandra Alonso of Bizkaia Durango won that ahead of Sheila Gutierrez of Movistar and Ariana Fidanza of Team Bike Exchange. Annemiek van Vleuten is comfortably in the race lead, she's holding 2 minutes 10 over Mavi Garcia. 107 kilometres tomorrow from Segunto to Valencia with another brunch sprint looking likely. And to Rwanda for stage 6 of the tour there. 152.6 kilometres from the capital to the top of Mont Kigali. Pierre Roland of B&B Hotels won that solo, 50 seconds clear of Alexis Viermors of Total Direct Energy. Adney van Engelen and Lennart Tergel's 3rd and 4th over the line, they were 2.5 minutes back before everyone else staggered home between 3 and 22 minutes down. Christian Rodriguez of Total Direct Energy leads GC by 7 seconds over James Piccoli of Israel Startup Nation. Lennart Tergels is in the mountains jersey. Best young rider is Alan Boyo. He's 5th on GC with 3 stage wins under his belt. Time trial day tomorrow, which seems all the rage. It's only a short one, but at 4.5 kilometres, it finishes up Mer de Kigali, a 700 metre long Cat 1 climb with its punishing 12% gradient. Right, Giro preview time. Here is Inigo and Nathan.
What are your thoughts, Nigeria? Have you got any like outrageous predictions or anything? Anything that sort of you think that might happen? Maybe.
I don't know. I wouldn't say it's necessarily outrageous, but I'm thinking Peo Bilbao will be Bahrain's leader. I think he'll be able to get into top 5, maybe on the podium of GC. I think he's quite an underrated rider, but he's actually pretty strong of late, so I think he could surprise a few people.
You think that's quite an interesting call. I mean, I've obviously hearing a lot about Landa as the Bahrain man. It's always only going to be for him. But I sort of know what you mean. He's done pretty well. I mean, winning a stage at Tour of the Alps, second on GC, recently. So like, I see where you're coming from. Actually, that's quite an interesting one. I guess probably where we should start our preview of the Giro d'Italia has to be with the kits, the custom kits from Israel Startup Nation and EF Education Nippo. We should probably start with the ISN one with the. It's like, well, the thing is, I'm going to call it sort of like a blood red sort of thing. Honestly, because the problem is, when I first saw it, I thought it was a collaboration with Dowsett's Little Bleeders charity. That was where my mind straight went to. Because it's all of that swirly red, dark red sort of on the jersey. But apparently it's for Fantini Wines promote that in their Italian market. What are your opinions on it?
I quite like the kit. I wasn't really sure of the origins of that design either. Like, I kind of thought it looks more like a pudding, to be honest.
But, like a fondant type thing.
Yeah, like it is a nice kit. It's sort of similar to the EF colour one last year. Like their main colour base on their Giro one last year. And I quite like that colour. Yeah. But they've just minus the duck, which is it makes it look a bit more formal. Which is quite a nice touch.
Mainstream.
Yeah.
No, it's nice. I wrote on Twitter that I can't quite decide if it's absolutely horrendous or actually not so bad. Because in one way, I think it is horrendous. But in the other way, I kind of like it. I don't know. It's quite a tricky one. But problem is, That was the first one that got released, and we all saw it and we thought, interesting. But then, of course, we always knew that EF were going to change their kit because, of course, can't wear pink in the Giro. So we were all waiting for their release, and I think it blows out of the water. Sort of, it's like a black base with color patches with a sort of flag theme over sort of spotted all over it. I think it's a solid 9 out of 10. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I think I prefer that almost to their normal kit. It is a bit nondescript though. But standing up, it is a very nice kit. Just the way the black base and then the sort of the color tiles. But I think it could be a little bit tricky to pick out in the peloton.
Yeah, that's quite a good point.
Because I mean, I know not that many teams actually have black now because everyone did it, but yeah, it just looks a bit nondescript.
Yeah,
it's good standing up, good but I think from the front, just on the shoulders, it's a bit plain. It's just a bit plain and boring compared to their normal bright in your face pink.
That's a very good point. Actually, I hadn't quite considered that. Actually, that is a very good point. How would you compare it to last year's Palace Rafa collab?
It's definitely, this year's is definitely a lot more smarter. It's definitely a lot more sort of, I don't know, more.
Again, you probably could say mainstream.
Mainstream. Because last year, it just felt like someone had launched a load of colours at a wall and stuck a duck on it.
Yeah.
And it just looked a bit of a mess. Sort of, there was too much going on. Whereas this year, they've dialed it down, focused on a bit more of a basic colour scheme, but it's a lot more effective, I think.
Yeah. For me, I think I prefer last year's just for the statement that it made and the fact that it was actually a collab with Palace. But I still think this year's is absolutely top-notch. Rafa continuing to do it different, as you could say. Enough about kits. Let's talk about the actual race. And who's hopefully going to win. I guess probably the first place to start would be the key contender for the GC, the old pink jersey. Where best to start than to kind of quick step with a two-pronged attack, you probably could say, with Almeida and Remco Evenepoel, who's starting his season. Do you think he's going to be able to kick on and just suddenly just click and suddenly win races? Or
It's very hard to say without seeing anyone race what their level is. He's been training well, and he's quite young, so his recovery from injury will be good. But it's just very unknown with what he's going to do, because obviously it's his first Grand Tour as well, and that's always challenging for anyone, let alone a 21-year-old. But he's built different.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was hearing on the Ned Malting and David Miller podcast that Ned was saying that because he did a month in either January or February, he did a month over in Lanzarote and then came back, and then he did another month in Sierra Nevada. And what he was saying in Lanzarote was that his just legs weren't there. He couldn't train like before. He just didn't have the condition. But when it came to Sierra Nevada, he came back and he said I'm there, I'm back, sort of thing. So if those words to be believed, I think possibly a stage win, maybe even two, might be the best we can expect from him. Maybe a cheeky top 10, but unknown quantity to be seen, I guess you probably could say. But I guess we should probably move on. Since you've been talking about Peo Bilbao, we could probably talk about Mikel Landa as well. Technically Bahrain Victorious leader. Not yet a winner of a Giro, of a Grand Tour, I should say. Has won three stages of the Giro in the past, plus two at the Tour de France. It's sort of a nearly man in cycling, you could say.
Yeah, like, before, I think he has been strong enough to win Grand Tours. Like when he was running for Astana, but he was the year that Contador won it, but he was made to just wait for Aru, who clearly wasn't as strong as him. And then when he had to keep waiting around for Chris Froome as well, when he was at Sky, and then missed out on the podium. So I think he has been in teams where the dynamic has not quite worked out for him. And then at Movistar, obviously, it never worked out for
them. We all know what happened there.
Yeah. But, yeah, when he is given his own opportunities, he can never just... He just can't quite manage to grasp them, unfortunately.
No, I totally agree.
Reflects badly on him.
Mm-hmm. I think you're probably right there. I find it quite interesting that apart from Euskaltel Euskadi, where he started his career and he spent 3 years, all of the teams he's been with, he's just stayed at them for 2 years. So obviously Astana from 2014-15, then Team Sky 16-17, Movistar 18-19, then obviously now Bahrain McLaren / Victorious as they are now. He's been there sort of, this is his second year with them. You'd have to say that he's sort of trying to compensate, just saying, oh, it was the situation, you know, trying to say it's all about excuses about how the setup probably wasn't right for him. But in fact, it was possibly more the legs, more his own legs that were holding him back.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things with we will never know.
No, because you're probably right.
When you're forced to ride in service, that takes a lot out of you and ultimately prohibits you from winning a race. Otherwise, you're out of the job, pretty much.
Yeah, of course.
But last year at the Tour, when he got his entire team on the front to drop everyone else and they just dropped him.
Yeah.
It did reflect quite badly on how good are his legs, sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we were talking about running in service... Yeah, absolutely.
If he has a good run here, then yeah, he's proved it. Fair enough. But if he doesn't, there'll always be that talk of, is he or wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I think it's quite a big sort of keystone in his career. He's been pro now for over 10 years. You'd have to say that he now needs to make it clear that he is a GC contender. He can win Grand Tours. Otherwise, I think he might fade into the background. But as you were talking about working in favour of others, you're bringing up Peo Bilbao, his teammate. Do you think it could be a case of Land's legs not quite being there and it being roles reversed and him riding for Bilbao instead?
Yeah, I could see it happening if Landa sort of falls away on a stage or two. Because Bilbao, I'd say Landa on a given day would definitely be above Bilbao, but Bilbao just seems to have a bit more reliability. And when he has been given opportunity in Grand Tours, he can get up there and has done well. But I think it's his potent downhill attack, to be honest. It's just can set him apart. I've had a look at the route, and there's a couple of downhill finishes.
Yeah.
So it could be interesting to see if he takes a chance there.
Interesting.
He does seem to be more of a reliable performer with a slightly stronger track record, a bit more consistency, which obviously is beneficial to a Grand Tour.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very well summed up, I'd say. I totally agree. And on a slightly tenuous link, talking about descending, remember a certain Zakharin, who is not very good at going downhill? Well, his fellow countryman, Alexander Vlasov, also Russian, who's leading Astana Premier Tech, he's being talked about in quite a lot about possibly going for the pink jersey, about going for the GC. Do you think it's realistic that he could get a podium?
Yes, it's definitely realistic him for the podium. But the thing is for Vlasov is he sort of needs that team around him to ride hard and long on the front, because he's not got the punch like other GC contenders. Like maybe, I know Roglic isn't in the race, but like Roglic or Pogacar, for instance, he's not really got a punch, he's not really got a kick. So for him to attack It's more of a big wind-up, sort of like a Hugh Carthy style, big wind-up. And then on the time trials, he's not as strong, so he does need to ride away in the mountains. But I think things holding him back is that he can't ride away from people. You can't ride away from people when they're sitting on your wheel. So I think because he just struggles to get a bit of separation, I think that's his explosivity or lack of it has held him back a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I could totally agree with that. It's sort of a mismatched team that Espadana Premier Tech team. You've got Samuele Battistella on his Grand Tour debut, Fabio Fellini, sort of a punchy sort of sprinter, I guess you could say. Gorka Izagirre, who could probably be there for Vlasov. Vadim Pronsky and Luis Leon Sanchez, Matheus Cabrera and Harold Tejada. It's sort of a bit of an interesting team, not maybe the one that Vlasov may be looking for, considering the strength and depth that Astana do have. So it might be a case of being a one man mission for him. But I guess we'll wait and see. I guess we should probably now move to the bit of the elephant in the room, Simon Yates, who for me is the pre-race favourite. I'd say he's got the best chance. He's the odds on. I feel like he's certainly got the best legs of anyone here. Yeah, certainly proving it. He obviously winning Tour of the Alps, doing very well in Catalonia, as well as Tirreno Adriatico. So I feel like this might be a sort of a bit of a redemption story, given what happened in 2018 with him being in the pink jersey for something like 15 stages, winning 3 stages as well, and then obviously blowing up in the final week. So I think it would be really good to see him come back and really assert some dominance on this race and really bring home the pink jersey this time, don't you think?
Yeah, I think this year he has been on phenomenal form. And then Tour of the Alps, where he just ditched Sivakov, Carthy, Quintana was... It looked strong. Very strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he really does look like he means business this year. I think that as a really strong rider now, 28, we were talking about it on the waffle that... there's this sort of like 27-year-old syndrome. We were talking about it, about Marc Soler, how he's been sort of like 22 for about 6 years. I feel like it's sort of the same case for Simon Yates. I remember when him and Adam were winning white jerseys at the Tour. I now think he really is coming into his prime, and I think it's now time for him to step up and really win a big bike race. So I think without wanting to start too much pressure and not wanting to put the quick clink curse on him, I think he's my pick for the pink jersey. I think he's probably the safe pick, but as for the rest of the names, despite coming second last year, I think Jai Hindley definitely still is an underdog. With Romain Bardet in the team and also still being a young rider, as well as having a long time trial on the last stage that doesn't exactly favour him as a rider, I think he's probably an underdog. We also have Marc Soler, Hugh Carthy at EF, who I personally would back for a top five, maybe even a podium, given his performance at the Vuelta last year. Were there any other names that you picked out that might do some damage?
Egan Bernal. Have we not talked about him?
How have we not talked about Egan Bernal? They're just going to show.
Yeah. And also George Bennett for Jumbo-Visma.
Yes, I'll be honest, I would put George Bennett in that sort of underdogs category. I really get the impression he's been sent there as a sort of like as a you have your chance now, and if it doesn't work, oh well, too bad, you can become a domestique. If it does work, oh well, too bad, you can become a domestique. I guess we'll see. But sorry, just completely skated over Egan Bernal there. I guess the reason I didn't really think about him for this race is that it's this back injury that keeps sort of dogging him. Just can't seem to shake it. Obviously, had a very good early season, came third at Strade Bianche. I think he was going to that race as sort of like a... Because there is a Strade Bianche stage of this year's Giro in Tuscany. I think he was going there for some sort of recon, but obviously as well, pulled up a podium, which is pretty good. But hasn't really... Well, I guess, okay, I'm now looking at his PCS and his last race on here is a Tirreno Adriatico where he came fourth on the general classification, which isn't so bad. But back that was back in March. So Do you think he's got? Do you think he's got a chance of becoming the gain the podium? I mean, for me, I think it's he will win or be like 15 seconds off, or he'll be 20th. I don't think there'll be an in between. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you there. I agree with that. He's not going to be sort of fourth or fifth. He will be either winning or out of the back. I think sort of in the media before he generally talks himself down to the media.
Yeah.
So I think he's either being very honest about himself and they'll just Sivakov, but he's been given the number one. So he'll definitely go into it as team leader. Whether he, after first week, he goes, no, the back's hurting and just rides for Sivakov, it could be. But I think just because Bernal says my back injury is still with me, I think he could be playing himself down a little bit.
Yeah.
Not as in a sort of mind game sort of thing, but he just seems to be quite a humble guy. So yeah. I think he doesn't like to draw too much attention to himself if he's uncertain about his condition.
Yeah, absolutely. Ineos also have a very good second foil in Pavel Sivakov, who's performed well at the Giro in the past. Sort of young and upcoming GC rider. I think the French are trying to claim him as their French Tour de France winner, hopefully in the future. Alaphilippe doesn't do it. But yes, definitely those two to look out for. I guess from there we should probably, unless there are any other names you can think of for the GC that might do some damage. I guess I'm seeing like Dan Martin. He had good welter last year. To be harsh, I do think he is past it. Now 34, not won a big race for quite a while. I guess, a couple of stages here and there, say the welter last year. Other than that, whether he can challenge for the podium, especially with this sort of field, I doubt it personally. Were there any other names you could pick?
I think an interesting rider to watch from Androni Giocattoli's side of it wouldn't be a Jefferson Cepeda from Ecuador. He looked pretty good at Tour of the Alps, I think it was.
Yes, it was. So, yeah. Was it a fifth? Yeah. I think he came fifth overall, didn't he?
Yeah. And
or fourth even.
Yeah, to be that high up when he's only 22, it shows a lot. He has just seemed to come out of the woodwork, like most Androni riders do. But
yeah,
he's definitely come out and this year and just shown that he's got some really good legs on him. So yeah. I think he could definitely get up there for the top 10 if he goes for the GC.
No, absolutely, I totally agree. Gianni Savio special. Definitely, I think that's a very very wise call. That. He's gone straight in my bad against him, I do have to admit. But yeah, from there, I think to look at the sprinters, I think it's one thing to look at the sprinters and another thing to look at the Ciclamino jerseys, the sprinters jersey of the Giro, because I do think they are two slightly different things. Because, of course, the premier sprinter here being Caleb Ewan on paper, that is. But never really finishes a Grand Tour. Certainly the Giro never really sees Milan or Verona or wherever happens to finish. So probably not a competitor for the Ciclamino jersey, but wouldn't you say he would be a contender for certainly a couple stages?
Yeah, he's definitely shown that he's on fine form this year. I think as far as actually finishing a Grand Tour, I think this year, as he showed at Milan San Remo, he can climb. So I think that's something that he's been trying to work on and improve, sort of that durability to get over the third week of the Giro. So yeah. I think maybe if he does have a lead in the Ciclamino jersey, then he could try and go all the way. But if he's doing the tour, then he could just go after take two or three stages, and then after 2 weeks go, that's enough. I'll rest up a bit.
Yeah, but absolutely. It's a possibility for sure. One man who I really hope actually does win the stage is Giacomini Solo. I believe he's won the Ciclamino twice before, but never actually won a stage of the Giro, which as an Italian, I think must hurt him deep down inside. So I really do hope that he can get at least one stage. Is it there?
Mm.
Oh, sorry. Yes. I think you cut out there for a second.
No, you kind of cut a couple of times. I wasn't sure if you finished speaking. No, I do think. No, it's all right. Yeah, Giacomini Solo. He does seem to be a bit of a nearly man on quite a few occasions. But last couple of years, he's picked up a bit. Like last year, just before lockdown, winning a stage of Paris-Nice. And then coming out of lockdown, took the Europeans. And is he current Italian champion as well? Or
Yeah, he is. Which is painful, so because he thinks that he can't wear the tricolour and the Europeans, which is a bit of pain.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that will either... Like, I think that will definitely fuel him, definitely give him the desire to... an extra bit of desire to get that stage win, to be an Italian champion and win an Italian Grand Tour. That's something special, even if he isn't in the jersey. But it may also add a little bit of pressure that he might not want. But no, it would be great to see him take that.
No, you're absolutely right, actually. That's a very good point. He's just come off a sort of Belgium Classic season where he came fourth at Bruges de Pan, second at Gent-Wevelgem, and eighth at Chanel de Bruce, which... Not probably the win he maybe was looking for, but not results that I wouldn't be sniffed at, I don't think. I think he's got to be pretty happy with those. I mean, you can't complain with that. I think quite a lot of pros would take that sort of results. But yeah, as you say, European champ and also Italian champ, he definitely will be looking to get that stage. And I hope he does. One young rider I'm looking at for Team DSM, sort of a bit of an underdog, who'll probably have to surf the sprints on his own considering his team, is the German Max Kanter. I believe this may be his first Grand Tour. I will just check that. 23 years of age, I should say. Welter last year. Do apologize. Yeah, definitely a name to look out for there. He might get up there for top three, or maybe even sneak a stage if he's wily enough. But talking about Ciclamino jersey, the Tour de France points jersey has been won by one man for the past 10 years virtually. It's Peter Sagan, who's riding his second year in the space of 6 months. Do you think that might be his target?
It could be. It doesn't. The Ciclamino jersey doesn't favour him as much as the Tour de France green jersey. Just with the way the competition is weighted towards the sprinters, to make it more of a sprinters competition and where the sprints usually come. But he will definitely be consistent on the sprint stages and could get up there on a getaway and an escape on sort of a medium mountain stage, which is maybe where a difference could be made over the other sprinters, like it has done in the Tour de France before.
Yeah, the Giro and the Tour de France, despite being quite similar in stats, they're very different races, aren't they? As you say, I think it would be a very different race for the Ciclamino jersey. I definitely think you're right, though. Sagan, already two wins this year, which I think he'll be pretty pleased with, considering his the past couple of years haven't been so successful. Definitely, I think he'll be looking for a stage, one of those rolling sort of breakaway days, a bit like his stage in last year, where he just rode away for everyone. Be quite nice to see him raise his arms again, the Giro.
Another sprinters in the race. What? Giacomo's favourite, Dylan Groenewegen.
Controversial name certainly at the moment. We're considering all this Jakobsen thing where he's come. But that's now arisen. First, yeah, it's a bit like Evenepoel, first race back after a long time away. Interesting. Completely unknown, I'd say. That Jumbo-Visma squad seems a bit confused at heart. You've got sort of David Dekker and Oliver Fini probably going to go for the lead outs, but then you also got Jos van Emden and George Bennett, who are going to obviously go up the hills. So could work brilliantly, and they get like three or four stage wins on a mountain and also on the black, but then it also could work in the opposite direction. To be honest, I do hope Groenewegen gets his win. Gets a win at the Giro, because after what happened, no matter whose fault it was and all that sort of stuff, just mentally, it can destroy you. And I think that you've got to be the bigger man. And if you can really bounce back, I think he can get back to his best, hopefully.
Yeah, I was going to say about the mental side of it. Like, it would be tough going into a bunch sprint again, knowing what has happened before. Even though he didn't go down, he did go down, but wasn't so badly hurt. But I do think that, like, when he's cried in the interviews about it, he does seem scarred from it. I think it has left a bit of a mark on him. Yeah. So, well, that means that he's sort of loses a bit of confidence, maybe, and just leads out Dekker, or does have the confidence to go for it. I think he will have the confidence and the hunger and the drive to go for it. And yeah, taking a win for him would definitely be a big relief, especially if he does it without causing any crashes. Or crashing, yes.
Yeah, that would certainly be very nice. Ironically for the Giro, I believe, was it last year, was it the Giro, that the first Grand Tour in however many years that they didn't actually have like a big crash? Is that right? Have I got that? I can't remember. Maybe it's the Vuelta. There's some mad stat like that. So, but yeah, hopefully there's no, that he doesn't have a get down, certainly in a sprint, considering all this barrier and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I guess in the conversation about other sprinters, the other top name I would say is Tim Elliott of Phoenix, who actually apparently Mathieu van der Poel is touted as the fastest man in Belgium, which is a bit of a middle finger to Wout van Aert, I think. But definitely a top sprinter. I mean, winning, was it Le Samin, in the Classic so far this year. Also at the Bredene Coxsider Classic. And also Grote Prijs Jean-Pierre Montserrat. Apologies for my appalling pronunciation there. But yeah, top sprinter, very fast. On the flat, though, good. I mean, he would win many stages of the UAE Tour, I'd say. With the Giro, is it possible? I guess you could say it is.
Yeah, I mean, I reckon he could definitely get over a couple of small climbs in the final. If you can win in Belgium, you can win anyway. So it's always a really attritional race. There's the sprints in Belgium. They're never really bunch sprints. They're always a reduced group. So it's definitely. Yeah. A sort of hard man sprinter, and yeah, he has shown that he is very quick in sprints.
No, absolutely, yeah. It'll be interesting to watch. Crazy to say it, but I guess almost the outsiders from there. You're sort of saying Elia Viviani, Fernando Gaviria. Elia Viviani, obviously former Italian and European champion, as well as numerous medals on the track. Very, very well decorated sprinter, but probably not at the top end of his career. As you could say, also for Fernando Gaviria, almost maybe he'll be roles reversed and he'll be the ones doing the lead out. He'll be the one doing the lead outs for Max Vecchese, maybe. Sort of a bit of a shame, really.
I think. Well, Sagan said that he struggled to come back from COVID, and he only had it once. Gaviria had it twice.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a big obstacle to overcome. I think maybe then if Gaviria is not quite feeling great, they could turn to Milano from that team. Yeah. And won three stages of the Tour of Colombia a year ago, maybe a couple of years ago. But yeah, showed that he had some form then. I don't think he's actually taken a win outside of Colombia. Oh no, he's won in China as well. So yeah, races at altitude definitely help him, which is probably where he's from, being Colombian. But yeah, he's shown that he's quick, beat some good sprinters out there. So potentially they could be going for him. Or also, yeah, lead out for Richese for a win would be good to see.
Yeah, would be fun. Also, Diego Ulissi in that squad, was it five Giro stage victories already? So definitely no lack of class in that squad. And from there, I guess probably looking more towards the breakaway riders, your breakaway bunnies, I guess you could call them, stage victories, you know. What sort of names? I mean, obviously, I would, as much as you said Cepeda for a top 10, I wouldn't be surprised if he did get away in a couple in a break, or maybe attack on a climb and get a stage one or two. Actually, on the subject of injuries, I would like to shout out Samuel Izquierdo, who I was very lucky to go out on a ride with last week, and as he sort of warmed, like tapered, I guess you say, for the Giro. He said his legs are feeling pretty good, and he's certainly one to watch out for the breakaways. I believe that's the plan. So. I guess we'll see. I guess pretty much any of the other riders could happen, because it's one of those ones where you say you back him for a breakaway, and sometimes it just doesn't happen. That's just not the way it goes. I mean, we've seen Degen have very quiet grand tours in the past, but yeah, he's the breakaway king. So.
Mm.
Are there any names in there that sort of stand out that you think are like dead certs for a breakaway that we haven't already stage victory that we haven't already mentioned?
Simon Pello, he'll definitely be in a breakaway at some point, whether that be on the flat or in the hills. He'll definitely be in a breakaway.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I reckon Movistar will definitely launch riders in the breakaway.
Yeah.
At some point.
I remember Ina Rubio last year.
Yeah, as part of a grand master plan that we're not sure what they will achieve with, or if it all goes to pot for Soler, which it may well
be equally likely.
Yeah, then we could see him in the breakaways, and he's always dangerous if he's in a breakaway that stays to the line. Also, yeah. From Israel Startup Nation. Alessandro De Marchi,
yeah,
a backbone of Grand Tour breakaways for the past 10 years.
Yeah, no, very. That's a very good shot. Yeah, almost. If I had to put money on breakaway, it would definitely be Peo and De Marchi there. I think you're right, absolutely right there. I would actually like to touch on the FDJ team not going for GC for the first. Well, I say not going for GC for the first time ever. I mean, they rarely do, but always gets to the third week, and oh, suddenly we're looking for stage wins. As Pino inevitably gets dropped, but now genuinely going into this Grand Tour with sort of free reign, being led by Rudy Mollard, who I don't think will really ever have had this sort of opportunity before. But I think I hope the pressure doesn't get to him and buckle under it. But he's definitely probably a name to look out for a stage win. Also, Lars Vandenberg, heard a lot of good things about him. I believe it's his first Grand Tour. Young lad from Holland, the Netherlands, 22 years old. He might do something. Race at the Tour of the Alps this year so far. But yeah. Any riders to add in there, or is that pretty much our comprehensive review of the start list, I could say?
Yeah, from FDJ, it is a bit of a mixed bag of sort of the team. I think they'll definitely play more of a role of an attacking Pro Conti team rather than a GC World Tour team of what we've seen in the last few years. Also, maybe for the breakaways, from Intermarché, Jan Hertz and Rein Taramé.
Yeah.
Rein Taramé actually won a stage when he was running with Tusha a couple years ago. We've got It's a few Eritrean riders as well in this race. Got Natnail Bahani for Cofidis, Androni. Natnail Tesfatsian for Androni, yeah. And then Emmanuel Grebrezagic. That's how you say it. Emmanuel Grebrezagic.
Yeah, say that after a couple of pints.
Yeah, Grebrezagic.
I can't even say that after one. After none.
But yeah, so three Eritreans is a strong showing for Eritrea.
Yeah, Really good to see that, actually.
And then just go for the British riders. James Knox, I think he's been looking strong. He'll probably be in a domestique role, but he's been going well with that.
Yeah.
Then Carthy and Carr for EF. Mark Christian on the EO Cometa team.
Yeah, definitely looking out for him.
Quite an interesting team, actually, EO Cometa.
Yeah, that's the
with all the Italians.
Yeah, it's a Spanish. It's that that's about Contador and Ivan Basso. Iolo, obviously, an Italian internet company, I guess you could say, paired with sort of the. So it's sort of like an Italian Spanish type setup. And as you say, out of the eight riders, six are Italian. Vincenzo Albanese, probably the only one I've actually heard of. But I definitely think they'll be in the breakaway. Archie, no, look at it. They've got great to see that Simon Yates will be in the car for them.
I just saw that. I know Sean Yates is actually in the car. It does do work for them. But yeah, I just saw Simon Yates was there.
Yeah, a little bit of a typo on the processing stats. But they'll be interesting to watch, see how they get on. But I think that probably wraps up our... I'll start list review. I guess from here, I should say is give me a pink jersey, a Chiclamino, and mountains, and a young rider. Just lay it well on the line. Quick link curse fully enabled.
Right. Pink Simon Yates, definitely.
Yeah.
Chiclamino. Giacomo Nizzolo.
Right.
Mountains. Could be anyone.
It really could be.
It could be anybody.
Mountains is a bit of a breakaway one. You sort of get in the breakaway and you get all the points there. There's not really one win from winning stages.
It's sort of one that people don't really go, I'm going to go for that. Before the race, you just kind of get in a couple of breakaways, and then you get to the start of the third week. You're like, oh, I'm kind of up there actually.
Yeah,
I might have a whack at the mountains jersey.
Exactly.
It's kind of how it is.
It is.
Then a young rider, probably Evenepoel.
Really? Young rider. Big. Very,
there's so many good young riders that you actually lose track of who's young rider.
Yes. Literally, of all of the GC favourites, anyway. I think. Yeah, of all the GC favourites that aren't I think it's literally Simon Yates that's the only one that doesn't really qualify. I'd agree with you. I was actually had in my mind your first two picks. I was going to say Yates for the pink, Nizzolo for the points for sure. Well, that's what I think it will be. For the mountains, the three names that keep going around in my head are Giovanni Visconti at Bardiani CSF Fasano, Tom Stegent, obviously, the breakaway king, and also Giulio Ciccone, who has won it before. If I was to pick one, I would probably... Oh, that's tricky, you know. That Trek team, I think, backing sort of Mollema for breaks and Nibali doing whatever he wants, I think, because he sort of... He's earned that right these days. I don't know. I'm gonna go with the underdog, Giovanni Visconti. I think Visconti's going to get in many breaks, get the points, and get the blue jersey in the end, I think. Yeah, and as for the white jersey, I'm going Pascal Almeida. I think he might be on the podium. I think he might have learnt from last year. I think it'll be a really, last year's, his, whatever it was, again, it was also 15, 16 days in the pink before relinquishing it towards the end. I think he might have learned from that. And, yeah, might bring it, might bring in a podium or something like that. But yeah, I guess it's that's our start list and preview and prediction slash curse on the riders, I guess.
There we go. One more sleep until La Grande Partenza. Until tomorrow, ride safe and take care. Ciao. Thanks for listening to Quick Link Podcast, your daily microdose of pro cycling news, results, opinion and chat. We'll be back tomorrow with another show, but in the meantime, you can hear all of our previous episodes at quicklinkpod.co.uk and find us across social media at Quick Link Pod. If fantasy cycling is your thing, our Velo Games show league code is 57273217. Like and subscribe, rate and review, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye now.